And on the line now, I have David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for taking the call. We're going to be talking about an upcoming public lecture, The Effect of Light at Night. Is this the moon and the stars we're talking about, or is it artificial light, David?
It's the sky background. The fact that when you're out in the city and you look up, you see an orange sky instead of a black one.
Yeah.
And that spoils the view of the night sky for certainly people interested in astronomy, but even the general public who want to wonder at the sights of the cosmos and the universe. It means, for instance, the biggest star party we run every year has to be held out in the Wicklow Mountains, one of the highest villages in Ireland, actually, Roundwood in County Wicklow, where the skies are amazingly dark. You can see the Milky Way arching across the sky, galaxies and star clusters. But in Dublin, the city, it's more like when you have to watch your TV screen with the sun shining on the screen. You get a very poor view by comparison. There are some things you can do in bright, light-polluted conditions, but the wonders of the universe are lost to you. And it's becoming an increasing problem, which turns out to be an environmental problem and could save Irish taxpayers €30 million a year, we estimate.
My God, it's a lot of money.
What can we do with 30 million a year?
Exactly, yeah. Great stuff could be done.
Every year. Yeah. So over the course of the last decade, we've wasted €333 billion on lighting up the underbelly of seagulls and jumbo jets.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm in shock that that amount of money.
And not to mention the carbon footprint of, wasting that much money on fossil fuels. So there are so many arguments against why there should be light pollution. And Professor Brian Espy, who was a young guy, amateur astronomer, interested in space, that didn't let that put him off and went on to a great career in this subject, he's just completed an Irish study across the country to see how bad this problem is. And there have been astronauts who have Irish links. So one of them actually married an Irish woman who have photographed Ireland at night from space. And in the old days, you used to say the poor people in Great Britain, that's a very densely populated country, it's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And Ireland just had a few bright spots where the major cities were. But once we went through the Celtic Tiger years, the streetlights sprang up here too. And now you can see there's dots of light all over the island, meaning that you have to get in between small towns in the countryside to get a reasonably dark sky. So things have changed, and he's going to present the first real Irish major study on this and what can be done and what it's all about at our lecture on Monday. And we hope a big environmental campaign will start as a result of this, because I think most people want to save the money, then they want to save the planet, and then they want to save the night skies for the next generation that can be inspired by space, especially considering now Ireland has a huge science-based economy and 60% of our GDP comes from science-related activities, and the companies that do that are looking for science graduates. And if we don't inspire them in the future, we could be losing our entire country, or at least our economic safety.
Well, I mean, your earlier statement there about the amount of money that could be saved, I'd say ears propped up all over the place to hear that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, if you're like most people are these days, green interested, then you start to think, well, how much carbon is €30 million creating? And that's an even bigger problem, because we're polluting the entire planet with that, and we're paying for it. And the thing is, as Professor Espy will present at the talk on Monday, needlessly, there are ways around this, and there are great ways around this. There are things called full cut-off lighting, FCO, and these are just really a standard street light with a little bit of a metal reflector around it that points, like a lampshade at home, points the light down instead of out to the side and upwards towards those seagulls and jets. And it's common sense. Why hasn't it been done? And even if we can't afford to go and change every one of the probably million street lights in Ireland, we could do it with the new ones. And as we upgrade them, fit these covers, it would mean you can space the street lights out further apart, or use lower power bulbs in these streetlights, and also, to save even more money, there are things like LED lights that cost more to install, but over the course of their lifetime are very efficient. If you've got one at home, you'll notice that when it's been on for a while, you can still touch it and you don't burn your finger. It's not wasting energy creating invisible heat radiation, infrared light. It's producing pure light that we see with. So we can save money and save money and save money, save the environment, and then give the night skies back, not just to the astronomers, but to the general public.
Yeah, and you mentioned LED lighting there. I think that's taking over now. Because am I correct in saying that the old bulbs, you couldn't recycle them?
No, probably not, because they're vacuum glass tubes.
Yeah.
The street lights are more like the fluorescent lights that you have in your kitchen or offices than the standard old tungsten bulbs we used to have, though, I think. Everybody's probably gone to the more energy efficient ones now, which are also a type of fluorescent bulb like the one in the kitchen. And they work on having a very thin gas inside what's really a vacuum tube and zapping electricity through it. And it makes the little atoms inside vibrate and give off a particular form of light. And they're actually quite efficient. A bit more expensive to manufacture than the simple heated filament bulbs, but they last a lot longer and they're a lot more efficient. And these were always in streetlights, to be fair to streetlights, so they were fairly efficient. But LED lights last phenomenally long. We're looking at decades rather than months. So they give a very pure light, and they're very efficient with the electricity they use, but we still need those shields around them so a third of it doesn't go up into the sky. And there are a lot, as Professor Espiola, I'm sure, explained on Monday, there are lots of other considerations as well. For instance, if you're driving along a motorway at night and in the countryside, you come to a major junction that's lit up by lights high overhead, because the lights aren't shielded, pointing straight down, you end up having to put your sun visor down at night. Yep. To stop your eyes being blocked by the glare. Now, if those lights were shielded, you won't see the filaments until you're underneath them, when the roof of your car will act as a sun visor, like it should, and you actually see the landscape in front of you lit up, and you don't have glare coming into your eyes, which is actually closing your eyes down, meaning you have to light the ground up even more brightly. So you get much safer lighting as well as more efficient. I mean, it's such a win-win-win-win-win situation.
It is,
it
definitely.
It beggars belief, yeah. Why it hasn't been done since, up to this point.
There's a lot of things that are like that you wonder why this hasn't happened sooner. Now, this is The Effect of Light at Night. It's by Professor Brian Espay from the TCD School of Physics. And who would be welcomed at this lecture? Is it organisations?
Absolutely everybody in Ireland. Anyone involved with lighting might be interested in a professional capacity. And the talk will be recorded on DVD for everybody in the country. You'll get that through astronomy.ie for a few euros. And I think anyone who wants to know how much of the night sky are we losing, what are the prospects for the future, is it going to get better or worse? There's probably going to be more development going on. The population of Ireland is set to increase. Those people are going to want public lighting. But if it's more efficient, the astronomers are fully behind this project. And if we can backdate the old stock that we have, that's of interest to planning officials, people who campaign for environmental improvements, and any taxpayer that doesn't like having their taxes squandered. Plus, the people who are interested in astronomy, to know they can go out to their backyard, look up, and see the Milky Way again.
Yeah.
It is actually possible that could happen. It'll probably take decades, but if we don't start somewhere, it'll never happen.
Yeah, well, I've noticed now recently with grandchildren and their friends and stuff like that, they're asking for telescopes, and they're looking at the stars and the skies through these telescopes. So people are interested, and young children seem to be getting very interested. Have you found this?
Absolutely, and we always have. I mean, Astronomy Ireland is, relative to population, the biggest astronomy club in the world, and it's because we've always tried to get young people and the general public interested. It's not just for people who already have a telescope. This is for people who are fascinated by the universe that created every tiny particle in their body. And it goes from as deep and profound a statement as that, right up to looking at pretty sights in the sky, like eclipses and planets and the moon and that kind of thing. And this is a great way of getting young people interested, because they might not necessarily end up like Professor Espy with a career in astrophysics, But they can end up learning, end up using computers more, understanding science in general, and there's chemistry, physics, biology, pharmaceuticals, all these disciplines where there are fantastic jobs, well paid, and who doesn't think that science is going to be important to the future? So sustainable jobs that will stay with us for a very long time. Yeah. So it's a great way to get your kids interested in science in general, astronomy in particular. And if we have the night sky more accessible, that can only help. I remember as a kid living on the edge of a city, being able to see the Milky Way from my backyard. You can't do that from that location anymore. You have to go further out. And so it makes you wonder, would I have been that inspired? Hopefully so, but maybe not. And I'm sure some people won't be inspired because they won't see the Milky Way in the first place unless they go off on holidays to the west or some of the nice dark sky reserves we have around Ireland. We do have some very dark skies in rural areas. The Kerry Dark Sky Reserve in particular is the darkest site in Europe. So apart from going to deserts or giant mountain ranges somewhere on the planet, the darkest skies near a populated region are in this country. It's just the towns and cities we've got to worry about.
I remember years and years ago now, going back decades, I was at a wedding, I think it was in Enniscorthy, and we had to drive to this farmhouse, and it was very remote, but the only light was actually the stars and the moon, and it was eerie but also beautiful in a way.
I mean, we get these stories all the time of people who come back from holidays in the west, maybe they've rented a little cottage somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and you know, they know as in thinking people that it must be the same, but they say, is that the same sky that they have over in the west that we have in Dublin? The answer is yes, we just got all these bloody lights on. And that's the problem. And I went and filmed a piece with RT's Nationwide there a couple of years ago at Finn Loch on the edge of Loch Earn, just inside Northern Ireland. And they have these bubble domes where you can sleep in a four-poster bed with a clear roof above you, and you can see the Milky Way. And it's away from all the towns and cities. And when I pulled up just first night at the place and stepped out of the car and you looked up, and there was the Milky Way arching over your head, extremely bright and easy to see, even easier than just driving a few miles out of Dublin City. And I thought, this is what the Milky Way is supposed to look like. So I do check out Finn Loch as well if you want a unique experience.
Right. Now, it's very, very interesting. And for our listeners out there who are listening and are saying, I'd love to attend this, how do they go about it? Is booking necessary?
It's a good idea, yes, because we normally have enough seating. The lecture's happening in Trinity College, not because it's an academic lecture, simply because they have great presentation facilities there, lecture rooms with great projectors and all those facilities. But it's aimed at the general public, and you can go along on the night. There's maybe 200 seats in the auditorium. But if you book in advance, it helps us to plan number. Sometimes we get a big surge. At worst, you'll be queuing on the steps for a while. So astronomy.ie is where you can book the tickets. Bring some friends and family along. It's going to be a fascinating talk anyway. It's unique research. You'll find out a lot more about the country and what the lights over Ireland are like these days. And if you can't get along on Monday night, remember, all of our talks are recorded on DVD because most of the members of Astronomy Ireland live outside County Dublin, so they're posted these DVDs all the time. And again, on astronomy.ie, if you click on lecture, you'll see you can order the DVD as easy as you can a ticket. And it's all done with secure PayPal systems and the like, so shouldn't be any problems there. So everyone is welcome, kids, young people, old people. Even planning officials might want to go along in a professional capacity. This is Professor Espy's first presentation publicly of his results, so we're really fascinated to see what happens. And who knows what might arise from this. We're certainly keen to promote controlling light pollution in Ireland. Public lighting is necessary, but bad public lighting isn't.
Right, and that's astronomy.ie.
So,
Now, I have a few minutes left before we have to take a break. So I would just want to ask you something. I was listening to the news last night, and they mentioned something about Mars. Was there plant life found on Mars, or did you hear that?
Not quite. Yeah, I watched the press conference. NASA really hyped it up from earlier in the week. They said they were going to have a big press conference about Mars, but they weren't going to say what it was about. And so the press conference happened at 7 p.m. Irish time, days you can watch them live from anywhere in the world. And the scientists were presenting new results from the Curiosity rover. In our magazine every month, we have a page dedicated to this rover on Mars. It's a multi-billion-dollar project. It's trundling around, as we speak, climbing this 16,000 feet high mountain because it was created in a lake and it's laid down layers over millions of years. So just by climbing the mountain, you can equivalent to drill down into the ground to find out what's been going on Mars. And what the big secret of what they announced last night is that there's a lot of methane gas in the atmosphere of Mars. I should say a lot, there's actually very little, but there is some, and there shouldn't be any. And the best thing we know that creates methane is life. Even little bacteria under the soil producing methane would explain this. Now, they can't prove it's from life, because there are some geological processes that can do this as well. But on Earth, it's usually life that creates these pockets of methane. So they've got evidence now for not only the methane, but also that it occurs seasonally, just with the seasons. Again, exactly like you'd expect with life. And the other thing they present was they've been able to, the drill broke on this Mars rover, but they've managed to get it working again, and they've been drilling down into these sediments as they go higher and higher up this mountain, about 1,000 feet up now, so a long way to go. And they found evidence for organic molecules, and these are the kind of things you would expect to find if there at least had been life on Mars. Mars is a desert today, but it was an ocean when it was formed for the first billion years or so. And at the very least, this means if there wasn't life on Mars, there certainly was the food to feed it back then, billions of years ago. And we think life got started on the Earth pretty quickly, perhaps only tens, hundreds of millions of years. And Mars was certainly Earth-like for that period of time. So either something very unique happened on the Earth, that life started here, or it should have happened on Mars and the Earth, but conditions on Mars are now terrible. And maybe life is eking out a miserable existence below the surface, or went extinct a long time ago, and all we're ever going to find is fossils. But any of those scenarios is absolutely fascinating and enables us to explain how we got here and evolved to be intelligent beings thinking about all this, and how likely is that, therefore, to happen around the universe. We know there's of the order of 10 billion Earth-like planets in our galaxy, and there's roughly a trillion galaxies in the universe, so the places where life could get started are rife. And the question is, does something unique happen during this process to create intelligent life? That's why we're here. Or is the universe teeming with intelligent life? It's just very far away and difficult to contact. And this is a huge question that a lot of scientists will be answered during our lifetime. So we'll certainly be holding the front page of Astronomy Island magazine. And by the way, you can see Mars yourself, very bright in the evening sky. It's going to be as best in July. And we're setting up a huge event for it on September the 8th. Details on astronomy.ie.
Right, astronomy.ie. I'm sure Noel will be talking to you about that big event in July, I think you said. So
it's September the 8th.
September.
It's called Starbecue, a barbecue under the stars. It's the biggest star party in Ireland. And it's aimed at the general public, where we can set up telescopes in the Wicklow Mountains, invite the public along to see what the universe is supposed to look like through a giant telescope.
Okay, David, listen, thank you very much for taking my call. It was very, very interesting talking to you. And that's all happening on this Monday, is it?
Monday night, 8 o'clock, Trinity College. There's a map and exact location of the physics building there on astronomy.ie. Come along early or book your ticket now.
Okay, David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.